not keep the germs out of the patient.
Town of Moreau Planning Board Meeting, Monday, September 20th, 2021, at 7 o'clock.
To some degree.
No, I think
there's a bunch of emails bouncing back and forth.
There is, yeah, I didn't see any, so life is easy. Should I look? Oh, yeah, there's no need of it.
Now, can they do the public hearing? Oh, they can.
Can you hear it when you're talking? Can you hear what he's saying?
Because I tell you, when we were Zooming meetings, I had a hard time hearing that we were from ZBA, and I had a tough time hearing from ZBA. You know, I'm looking at it on the screen, it seems like a million miles away.
This is not the most sophisticated system.
Yeah.
I don't get them as a hard copy anymore, and I usually get them in an email. Okay, so you just need to make sure my address or email address is on your mailing list, because I don't remember receiving that. You probably did.
But I did, but I might have the wrong email address.
Okay, so.
Lack of a second, motion is defeated. First item I have on the agenda for this evening is dental contractors. We have one of those.
Yes, we do.
Tell us a story.
Do we want to have a public hearing first?
No. tell us the story, what we're doing.
It's not a public hearing.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
We can be late for the public hearing, we can't be early. You're set 7:01, but we can be late. Go ahead.
Okay. Want to just go over the changes that we had from last time?
Yeah.
Be great.
Okay. So, last time, probably the biggest thing that came up was this this drainage that comes down from Great Box Drive. It goes down through 197. There was some concern about that the owner would not be able to do anything on that parcel. He wouldn't be able to change the time in any way. He wouldn't be able to, redirect things or whatever. So we got together with Carla. Jim and I got together with Carla, and we talked about it. And where we had a conservation easement before, Carla said we should do the same thing that was done or was supposed to be done on this lot, which apparently wasn't done, was to have a deed restriction that said the same things that we were talking about. And she was going to get together with our attorney and go over what the verbiage should be for that. And we do have the area shown in green here. That's what we're talking about. And we don't have any problem. Whatever anybody comes up with, we don't have a problem with that, putting some restriction on that area where that drainage goes through. Right now, this lot did not have any restriction put in, even on the plans that said that they needed to do that. And Carla tells me that that's not actually, if it's just on the plan, it doesn't really mean a lot, only if it's a deed restriction. So what we're doing is, I'm waiting, I made some changes, you know, it says deed restriction instead of conservation easement, showed that area a little better, put some dimensions on it, and down here I just said that we'll put in whatever problem our attorney comes up with on that.
And that is consistent with our usual approach. We have an entry in the deed, and we have a notation made on the plat. So it's in both locations.
So, another thing that we talked about was the easement for this common driveway here. And we did talk about that when we met with Jim and I and Carla. And just got an email today from Carla saying that the verbiage that we had in our easement was acceptable to her. So I think that's done. A couple other things. It was small. We did get the addresses. The lot addresses are right down here. And there was enough numbers there, so we didn't have to have letters. So it runs 303, 305, 307, 309. And it kind of goes backwards, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it goes right. Looks like it's backwards to me. We added a note that there wouldn't be any other driveways that would come out in the 197. The only one would be this common drive, because that was another concern at the time. I talked with Jesse about the water, the way that we have the water done. He said this is absolutely fine with him, not a problem. He said if somebody needs to know, have him call me here. So, and I understand, I guess, Jesse's a short time now. So, and the T that we have up here is the same thing that we had before, except for it's just turned sideways before we had it up across. When I talked to Pete before, I told him, he said, whatever the code requires, that's what we need, and that is one of the acceptable ones, the T that's on the side like that. It can either be that, it can be this way, or there's three or four other ones that you can do that are suitable for the fire truck turning around. And I don't think there was anything else that we had that we were talking about. I think that was it.
Thank you, Aaron. In keeping with a comment made by Mr. Robinson, we are in receipt of a memo that says, I have reviewed the attached sheriff driveway agreement for the dental contract and subdivision within the town of Norwalk and approve the language within the agreement. Please note it is necessary for the applicant to provide a survey and description of the shared driveway to the town, although such is not a condition of approval for legal review purposes. We got that out there.
The only other thing I had in my notes, I think you did verbally reach out to the fire department, didn't you, Gary?
Yes.
Maybe you should put that in the record as well.
Okay.
You know, make a statement.
We talked to Pete before about this, the fire chief, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Fire chief, about the T-turnaround, and he was good with the T-turnaround. So.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Now, in keeping with the requirements dumped upon us by a judge across the state, Board, we've had an opportunity to review the Part 1 of the Environmental Assessment Form for the General Contracted Subdivision. To the first part, are there any additions, comments, or anything else? Hearing none, we will go to part two, and this board requires participation. We have two options. First is any other comment. No, a small impact may occur. Or the second is moderate to large impact may occur. One, the proposed actions create a material conflict with adopted land use or zoning regulations. Or here, no?
Here, no.
Very good. Will proposed actions on the change in use or intensity of use of land?
No. No, small.
Heard no. The proposed action will impair the character or quality of the existing community.
No.
The proposed action will have an impact on the environmental characteristic that caused the establishment of the CEA.
No.
You don't have any in town, so no. The proposed action will result in adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway?
No.
The proposed action causes an increase in use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonable energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities?
No.
The proposed action impact existing public or private water supplies?
No.
Public or private wastewater treatment facilities?
No.
Will proposed actions impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, aesthetic resources?
No.
Will proposed actions result in adverse change to the natural resources, such as wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna?
No.
Will proposed action result in an increase in potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems?
No.
Will proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health?
No.
That thing is a short one. Okay, we have successfully completed part one and part two. Now it is imperative for us to determine the finals. So do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion for a negative declaration for secret review of dental subdivision.
Motion is made to declare a negative declaration for environmental assessment review for dental contracting. To the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing good silence, would you call a roll, please?
Ms. Matias?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Siebel?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Aye. I have six affirmative. Is that correct?
Pardon?
Six.
Yeah, we have six.
Six affirmative. Motion carries. That was quite painless, almost. Now, for the reason we really came here tonight, and that is to conduct a public hearing for the Denham subdivision. And in keeping with our tradition, there are very few ground rules for the public hearing, and that is that if anyone wishes to make a comment or ask a question concerning this project, you are encouraged and invited to do so. Number two is kind of an elective. If you do have a comment to make or a question to ask, we would like to have you state your name so for record-keeping purposes only, so that in the future, if a question comes up, John Smith said, rather than, well, somebody said, it's more appropriate. And third, and probably the most important ground rule for the whole thing, throughout this whole process, we must maintain some sense of decorum. So yeah, do we have anyone that has a question or comment to make concerning this application? You can move them off that easy.
Well, I don't see anybody here in attendance. We do have one person online, but I don't know if that person is here for this or not. If you are, please unmute yourself and raise your hand, and we'll address your question or your comment. And I don't see them unmuting or. Mr. Jakowski, are you in attendance for this public hearing? On the subdivision, I'm waiting for a reply.
Well, while we're waiting.
Yeah, in the meantime, can we?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you know.
I just have a question about about lot number three, and you've got the deed restricted area where the pond is, and then there's on your map it just says deed restricted area, see note below. And then I think earlier you were talking about what you were identifying as the note, but is there some wording that
there's something like that?
Right, but is there any particular wording beyond what's here in this detail?
Not yet. Carl is supposed to be working with our attorney.
Okay.
To come up with that needs to go in the deed.
Okay, so the final wording that will be on the deed.
Right.
But as far as the site, you're acknowledging here that there will be
right.
Will be
yes.
In the deed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, we don't really care what it says. We just want to make sure that we get it done right, everything's good, and you know.
Glad to hear you say that. So you have, the deed restriction basically protects that stormwater system from being tampered with by the person that owns Lot 3.
Right.
There's nothing on this map anywhere that says how anybody can access that if there's a need to maintain or fix damage in that system.
And that's what the attorneys are figuring out. But
okay.
The same thing, what we talked about at the meeting was, like, you know, there's, we have this pond here. We don't know who is going to maintain it, right? This is the same thing we went over at planning board last time.
Mm-hmm.
Is, do we want to mention somebody who's going to maintain it? And Carla agreed that no, we shouldn't do that. They should just say that if down the road there's somebody who needs to maintain this, that they'll be allowed access. So that's where we're heading with it. But the two attorneys want to come up with certain legalese. Us engineers aren't, you know, we're not good enough.
But I guess my concern is that before we're done on the plan, it will say that access has to be granted to maintain that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's all I have on that. I got a handful of other ones. You want the easy one first? Where's the nearest fire?
There's never an easy one.
Yes, sir. Where's the nearest fire hydrant?
The fire hydrant is right in front. You can see it right there.
Awesome.
Right there.
I saw it on the other map, and I couldn't find it tonight on this one, so I thought you had said it was right out there.
Yeah.
So question number two, how long is this driveway to the furthest access to a lot?
Mm-hmm. I want to say it's like 200, it's like
under
300.
It's under 300 feet.
I don't know that it's under 300 feet, but
you know where I'm going with this, right?
But I have a scale.
Because if it's over 300 feet, 15 feet wide is not adequate for state law.
Oh, it's 15 feet wide means what? The width of it?
The width of the pavement is listed on the diagram here as 15 feet, and if it's more than 300 feet wide, it has to be more than that.
Yeah, see, mine says 20 now.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Mine says 15
feet. I know, you guys.
Yeah, it says mine.
So if yours says 20 and that's what it's going to say, then it's a moot point how long it is you've already met that requirement. Right?
Right, that's right.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do. Like a couple other quick easy ones.
Looks like it's 280.
Okay. There's a note on the diagram here of the driveway where it accesses 197.
Yes.
And the note says, stop sign and stop bar only if required by New York State DOT. Have you ever known New York State DOT to require a stop sign on a driveway?
No, I don't think they will.
Okay. So I don't know why the note's on the plans, but I would absolutely not want to see a stop sign there.
You would?
I would not want to see a stop sign.
Okay.
It's a driveway.
Well, see, what happens is when I talked to DOT initially, I talked to the regional guy.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, Gary. And he was fairly new there. And he said, you need to call a girl down at 50 Wolf Road.
Okay.
So she pointed me out to a certain, you know, detail that she wanted on the plan, which is what we have.
Okay.
And that's what it says. So it says,
well, it's just that there's a stop sign. Now it looks like we're okaying a private road and not a driveway.
Right.
Okay. And I'm sure there's no other driveway on 197 that says
we don't want to put a stop sign, we don't want to put a road sign, we don't want to do anything. We just want it to be a driveway.
And only one left. This one's easy.
Okay.
Mail.
Mail.
You have three or four houses on one driveway. All right. And my understanding from the United States Postal Services and Developments, they will not be delivering door to door anymore, or they wish not to. I'm assuming this is going to have mailboxes on 197.
I'm thinking that's what we'll do, yes.
So each one could be, you know, lot 303, 305, 307, 309, right there.
Right.
Maybe on one bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could be.
Well, I would think like one bank before the driveway or something so that it's not.
I think that would be attractive to us also to have it in one bank.
Okay.
If you want, we can add it. We can show it on the plan.
I don't have to see it. Maybe okay. Maybe you could call the Postal Service and just ask them where they would prefer it when it's four of them. But that's up to you. I just
want
to.
Of course, we would do that anyway if we have to. Right?
What's that?
We would do that anyway.
Yeah. I'm just saying for your discretion, it'd just be probably something else. But that's all I had. See, they were all easy.
They were.
I think they're easy ones.
Yeah.
I have one more as well. I see down here the residential driveway detail lower left.
Yes.
That's where the driveway with the note in the middle of the driveway says proposed common drive, 15-foot paved width.
Right.
See that?
Yeah.
Then over in the lower right above the title block, you've got a cross section that shows gravel drive, 20-foot.
Right.
So how far is it paved and what part's gravel? So it seems like there's a conflict here that you would have 20 feet wide in both.
Actually,
is what you said.
Like I said, I don't know if you didn't get it, but what I have is improved width, 20 foot improved width. But I think DOT requires us to do it up to the property line. But again, they, you know, when we talk to them, they're like, yeah, you know, we got a million things to do. When you're ready to do this, send us down a plan. We'll take a look at it. We'll approve it.
Okay.
So.
But your intent is to pay what DOT tells you you have to pay, or
yes,
that it would be grabbed.
Right. And I'm not sure that that may not change down the road. Maybe they get to that point and they decide maybe we do want to pay.
The homeowners decide to pay it if they can pay it. I'm just
right,
understanding
right,
what you're,
yeah,
what we expect.
At what point are you going to apply for your driveway permit? Is it before you apply for a building permit?
You have to.
Well, I, you would think.
Yeah.
I just want,
I
just want it on the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think once we get approval for the plans, then we go try to get our permit. So we would bring it right down to DOT and talk to that. I don't remember the girl's name.
I just think that's worthy of a condition that the high driveway permit be provided at the time of the first building permit.
Anything further, board? Mr. Martin, did our...
Yes, he did write his comment through, and it was in two parts. He says, our only concern with the dental project is the high water table. The last 3 years or so, it has risen approximately 4 feet when taken at my well site. People pump, but not late. And then he went on to say, something's wrong with the speakers, etc. His name is John Jakowski, 34 Great Fox Drive. He has to sign off, sorry, but no complaints if the stormwater system for the subdivision goes. And then he said goodbye. So I said thanks again, and I will read your comment into the record. So that's all that he said.
Okay.
So it seems to center on the stormwater and the water table and so on and so forth.
Well, and what I can say is that we were out there as part of the project early on. We went out there and we did test holes on each of the lots for a couple reasons. Number one, because the town row has a requirement on how far the foundation needs to be above the seasonal high groundwater, and because the sewage systems have a similar requirement. It's a little different. And we have a chart right up here on the very top right next to the location plan. And we have some little codes there that are outlined below, but we did give the surface elevation of the test hole where they are on the lots. We give the mottling depth, right? We all know what mottling is, right? It's where the soil rusts. And then we also have the mottling depth, the mottling elevation, the footing base elevation, and the leach field surface elevation. So they're all included in here. And when we did our plan, which, you know, is just a plan to show that everything fits on a lot, we put an elevation on here that will keep us above everything with the house and with the leach field and such. So, I mean, we did that. Blue Neals was out there from the county. Matt was out there from the town when we did that. Yeah, we did the best we could on that. I think what's going to happen is all those houses are going to be higher than the ones that are next door, than the ones that are up here.
And you will have erosion and sediment control plans, you know, for each lot.
That was part of the plans, right? There's mm-hmm. a four-sheet set, two of the sheets around stormwater.
Okay.
Are there any other differences between what I've received for this...
No,
and what you've got up there, other than the one note.
That would be the last thing that ended up getting done, and it must not have just made the prints that got you guys.
Okay. Anything further for public hearing?
We have no other people online.
No one else. We don't know. Public hearing closed. Board, what would you like to do? Such a thing as, if you're comfortable with it, preliminary approval, do you want to go that way, or is there anything else?
I was waiting, Jerry's over moving his notes around.
I was getting ready to make
a motion for preliminary approval, but I want to make sure, because I know you had the conditions.
There's only one.
The condition parceled out. So, I'd like to make a motion that we grant preliminary approval for the Deno.
Okay.
Deno Contracting LLC subdivision with conditions as Jerry has.
Well, I think that was the driveway. The driveway permit we provided at the time, the first building permit for the project was submitted.
Okay.
Was the condition that Mr. Martin requested.
And if you're making our motions and our conditions, we have no volume so that that crazy machine fixes it.
Right.
Okay. Well, the condition is that the driveway permit be provided at the same time the first building permit for the project is submitted.
And also while we're on the driveway, that it be a minimum of 20 feet wide. Don't care whether it's paved, myself, I don't care if it's paved or asphalt, but it must be 20 feet wide considering its length.
Motion's been made.
And this is Ann. If we could also add, as a condition, you know, prior to final approval, that we have an opportunity to review the deed restriction language that's being proposed.
Yes. I was getting to that, Ann, but thank you. That was my third.
Okay.
Because right now that's in talks, and we understand that. But before we do final approval, we'd like to see that.
Can I make one comment on that?
You got to tell us who you are.
Oh, no problem. Mark Stewart. I'm a partner in the business. And I just wanted to clarify, because I kind of had a feeling this was going to come up. And I believe Carla's letter clearly states that that should not be a condition of final approval that Mr. Jensen just read for us.
That has to do with the driveway.
And the right of way, correct?
I don't believe so. Not as I read it.
Shared driveway.
That was just a shared driveway agreement. No, there's nothing from Carla. We have nothing from Carla saying. In fact, Gary's already told us that this is still in talks. So they're trying to figure out the word, and Carla wouldn't send us a don't make it a condition if it wasn't cleared up. Okay. So I know it's a pain, but this is important. Okay. If this doesn't get done now, then it becomes a problem, and it doesn't become Deno's problem, because that will all be done. It'll be long gone, and somewhere 10 years down the road, somebody's going to have to try and figure out how to get in there if something goes wrong with that stormwater system. So, that is my motion, those three things. We can
second it or kill it.
I'll second that. This is Ann.
Yeah. Okay, this is scary. I'm beginning to recognize the voices. Motion's been made, seconded. Further discussion?
No.
If not, would you call the roll, please?
Ms. Matias?
Aye.
Mr. Arnold?
Aye.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Aye.
Mr. Siebel?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Aye. I have 6 in the affirmative. Motion carries. Board, is there anything else you'd like to do?
Do we have a vote on that?
Do we Nope. Do we have a desire to have these folks come back for signing, or do you wish to take care of that now?
For signing? Well, we're going to condition that there's certain things that have to be done before we do final approval. That was the motion. So we're not going to be waiting the 30 days on
that. Can we talk about that a little more?
We can talk about anything. I don't know if we'll agree with it or not. We can talk about it.
So far, you've been with that. Obviously, the stuff with Carla, that's going to be something that, you know, she's going to do, and none of us are going to change what that is. I mean, she's going to work with our attorney, and they're going to come up with some verbiage that has to go on in there. She knows exactly what, you know, we were talking about. I mean, when she met with Jim and I. I think that she's, you know, she knows exactly what she's doing, and I don't know that either you or I or anybody's going to change their mind from what goes on. So I'm just thinking it wouldn't be horrible if that was a condition of final approval. I know you love seeing me, but, you know.
Okay, so for sake of argument, do you remember when this development first came in front of this board?
It's been a while, I guess I do.
Months, right?
Yes.
And at that very first meeting, do you remember me asking about access to the stormwater pond?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's been months that this needed to be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would agree with you. I trust Carla to do a good job with it, but I also don't approve things that aren't done. So we put a condition on it, which is what we did.
Right.
Okay. Now what you're asking is for us to make the condition that it's upon Carla working out the details.
Right. And it would go to final with the same condition. It doesn't go anywhere until the condition is taken care of.
Your discretion, Lord.
This is Ann. I agree with John, and I also have a lot of confidence in Carla, but there's a lot of latitude in terms of what might be incorporated in this restrictive covenant, and I think that we need to see it and have an opportunity to weigh in on it as well.
Okay. Lord, any further? If not, I'm going to play the devil and ask if you want to put forth a motion to final approval, or would you prefer to wait until you see everything that we have been requesting the applicant to provide? The choice is yours. You cannot make a wrong decision on that. So I just need some direction to go. Now, don't everybody speak up at once.
Well, I can only speak for myself. This is not my first go-around with this stormwater pond. Okay? And this is the last chance to get it right.
Right.
The last time it was in front of us for Great Fox Court, it was, oh, don't worry about it. It's attached to remaining lands, and it'll always be attached to that, and there'll always be access to it. And now we're doing this, which has nothing to do with the current applicant. I'm sorry that it falls in your lap. But if it's not done right, it's an absolute mess. Okay? So my position on it is simple. I trust Carla 100%, but I'd like to see the writing on it. I'm sorry if that's going to hold up progress a few weeks. I like the project. I really do. I've liked it since I first saw it. I think it's the best use for that parcel. It's just, from the very first thing, I said, we got to do something with this stormwater retention thing. Or it's not even a retention thing. This pond that handles stormwater and not necessarily in a great way, just to be sure that it's never a problem, and it has been. Okay? I don't know who's going to maintain it, but I have to guarantee that somebody can get in there to do something with it. Without having to go to court or wait a year or whatever to try and get in there. So, myself, I'd like to see it cemented, and I'd like to see it with my own eyes while Carla writes up about it. All right, that's my take on it.
Just so you don't think that nothing was done the whole time, because we had a
planning board meeting where we talked about what we're going to do with it, and we're going to put a conservation easement in, and not a, a deed restriction. So we had, that's what we had done, and that was on the last set of plans that you guys saw. So don't think that we weren't doing anything on that. It just
I wasn't saying that nothing's been done. What I'm saying is, we've had a lot of time for this to be worked out. Months. It's about 6 or 7 months that then this could be worked out. Okay. It was a known problem from that very first meeting. I would hope that I made it very clear at that very first meeting that that was a sticking point for me. Now, if you want to go ahead and if somebody on the board wants to reestablish the motion and make it without that condition, I'll vote no. But I may only be the only one. Maybe everybody else votes yes on it and moves ahead. Okay? But I need to see that that is taken care of. Myself. So.
Can I just ask one question? What the town attorney, and this is Mark Stewart, what the town attorney comes up and provides to you that we've shown as a process that we're doing, does the board have any jurisdiction to vote against what the town attorney says with our attorney?
Of course. We asked her for guidance, but she's not on the board. She's not a member of this board. She doesn't get a vote at all, but she is, of course, our legal authority, so we do look to her for legal advice.
So okay. You guys can tell us now what you want on deed then?
I'm not sure I understand.
Because you're telling us that we're waiting on what the description needs to be on the deed. Right? So yeah. Is that allowed? That's why I guess I'm confused, but I guess.
Well, I actually addressed this months ago, what I wanted to see, but that apparently wasn't okay, and that's all right. I've let that go. I wanted to see a deeded right of access on Lot 3, which I didn't think was a big deal. All I was really saying is I wanted in the deed that if somebody needed to go check that pond or maintain it, they could get to it. Okay? Apparently that could be done, and that's okay. I just want to make sure. I don't care how it is, as long as if something needs to be done with that. All right, and there's a historical problem with that stormwater system. It has nothing to do with your subdivision at all. I'm sorry. But there is a historical problem there that has been an issue in the past and required maintenance, and it could require it in the future, and we're allowing the subdivision that will lock that stormwater system into an area that is not accessible to anybody without permission from that lot. So that's why we're asking for something beyond the deed that says they have to grant that. Okay. Honestly, it's not ideal, right? It's not ideal coming into it. It wasn't ideal the last time the subdivision was done. And what I asked then wasn't done either, which was I wanted to detach the grade for it so that they could actually go right from the subdivision. But so we're just trying to make sure it's right. I'm sorry if it holds it up. I really am. Like I said, if somebody would like to make that motion and change it, they're welcome to. Okay.
So is it the consensus of the board that we need to sign a determination from council before we move forward to final? If that's the case, I have that in the form of a motion.
It is in the last motion.
It's in the motion, isn't it?
It's a condition in the last motion.
Can I see the language from council?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The condition was that before we would grant
final
approval, that the board wanted to review the deed restriction language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think you see the applicant. You see the position that everyone's in here, and right now we're not donkeys, we're stubborn, we're not about to change. So as soon as all those legal people can get together and do their thing, the better off everyone is. That's what it is. Do you have any further questions of us? It's turned about as always, Spirit Fly.
I don't think so. I think we talked about everything I had. A few things we didn't want. That's right. All right. Thank you very much.
The next one I have for this evening is Hoffman Development. We have one of those.
You do.
Jim, is that going to work with your setup? Is that going to work with your setup?
I think it is. The Hoffman Car Wash at 1387 Route 9. Here with Alana Moran from Creighton, B&B Engineering, come out at to talk about traffic that we'll get to. Also, Tom Hoffman and Marty Andrews with Hoffman Development Corporation. Where last year in June, you saw Gavin Bayonne from my office give an initial presentation for you. Gavin happens to be double booked tonight, so you're stuck with me to try and get through it. Before Gavin was here in June, we were here January, February for a subdivision of this parcel. This is opposite Route 197 on Route 9. I've shown it here just for an overall map so you can get the general location. Site's located here in yellow. This is Route 9, and here is 197. So this is the property that's directly across the street. It's the old Auto World property. On the town zoning map, again, site at the tip of the arrow. It's in your C1 commercial zoning district. In aerial with the overlay of this particular parcel shown here in yellow. You'll remember that subdivision. I don't have the overall subdivision, but it was, a three lot of this overall piece, and there was consideration for some type of future access down the road. For tonight, we're just here to discuss this 1.65 acre parcel outlined in yellow. You'll remember also as a condition of that subdivision that the building that was there come down, which it has been removed. So in general, you're left with the site as it is, with some vegetated, used to be grass out there, some woods in the back, and there's still some asphalt that used to surround that building. This is the detailed site plan that's been submitted to you. Again, this is Route 9 across the bottom, State Route 197 here, and this intersection, which Alana will speak to you about here coming up, has been configured, we think, appropriately opposite Route 197 here to handle future flows, future traffic, which may come at something at some later date out here. We're coming in into our parcel right at this location in circulate around the car wash. This is the car wash building here. It's a 6,500 square foot building. We'll have connections to municipal water and sewer. Water is on the side of Route 9 currently, and of course, the sewer project is underway. This is the site plan overlay on that Google Earth aerial image in case we have any questions of how that plays out coming up. I just wanted to turn it over to Alana quickly to talk to traffic.
Thanks, Travis.
Yep.
Again, Alana Moran with VHB. We are looking at the traffic for this site right now. We're still in the preliminary stages of the project as far as the traffic evaluation goes. The proposed site is, of course, on the northwest side of the intersection of Route 9 and 197 in the town, with access directly opposite 197 at the traffic signal.
Good.
Yeah, thanks. So the primary site evaluation is being completed at that one site intersection, the signalized intersection of Route 9 and 197, which is DOT jurisdiction. So, of course, that's... we'll be working very closely with them when it comes time for construction and permitting with the site and working with the traffic signal itself. Turning movement traffic counts, so intersection traffic volumes, were collected on Thursday, August 12th from 4 to 6 p.m. and then on August 14th, a Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. just to get an idea of what the existing traffic volumes are in the area for those peak conditions. For a car wash facility like this, we do a Saturday instead of like an AM peak hour because it's very rare for anybody to just be, you know, trying to head up to car wash at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning. So we looked at both the weekday PM peak hour and the Saturday midday peak hour, and what we look at when it comes to the traffic counts themselves are passenger vehicles, heavy vehicles, so trucks, buses, bicyclists, pedestrians, and then all the users of the intersection itself. I know when I was out there recently, I saw bicyclists up and down because of the route probably here on 197 as far as usage at the intersection. We've obtained traffic information as far as the traffic signal goes from New York State DOT, so we can kind of look at the operations of the signal and the capacity of the signal itself as far as what the signal can accommodate with heads and things like that. Also looking at DOT traffic volume information as far as traffic volumes on the adjacent roadway system. I'm sure you all know Route 9 and both 197 are nicely heavily trafficked routes, specifically here in the town. So if you're looking south of 197, there's roughly 20,000 vehicles per day. North of 197, about 11 to 12,000 vehicles per day. And then on 197 itself, roughly 9,000 vehicles per day on those roadways. So you're seeing it's just split as you get to 197. Okay. So as part of the future conditions, what we're actually analyzing, that we're looking at the future condition both with and without the proposed project. So we had an opportunity to speak with Jim about a bunch of other stuff that's going on in the town right now. The three residential subdivisions there of, you know, roughly 130, 140 lots, the 5,000 square foot all fresh Extramark, and then the 8,000 square foot office building that's kind of south of exit 17 but still has the potential to add a trip here or two to the network. We also looked at historical traffic volumes to determine a growth rate for the study area. The historical data actually showed something a little less than the 1%, but we understand that there's the infrastructure that's going in along Route 9, so we wanted to make sure we increase that just a little bit. To account for anything, any stragglers that might come in over the next year. The project is expected to be complete and operational in 2022, so there wouldn't be a lot of that impact, but we certainly don't want to miss that when we're projecting future traffic volumes. The proposed project, again, is a roughly 65,000 square foot kind of single unit car wash, and when we look at the trip generation estimate for that, we use the Institute of Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual. Right now, the current edition is the 10th edition for that. They're very close to coming out with the 11th, so maybe in flux as we're working our way through the project. But during the PM peak hour, the average is about 78 total trips during the PM peak hour, 50% entering and exiting, and then during the Saturday peak hour, around 41 trips, 19 entering and 22 exiting.
Why is it a different number entering and exiting?
I think it's just because it might be taking a little bit longer to go through at that time. I was expecting a 50-50 split, too, yeah. But the data is showing that it's slightly off. Maybe two people are vacuuming a little longer at that point. I don't know. But that is what the ITE data shows. And since the 11th edition is coming out during kind of the time that we're going to be working through the project, we'll also double-check with that most recent data and see if anything has adjusted in the background data from ITE. So, like I said, we're really in kind of the data gathering stage, and we haven't finished the analysis at this point, but what we'll be able to see next time we're together is a completed traffic evaluation that gives you the levels of service at that study intersection during the existing and no-build condition, and then under the build condition to see what it looks like with their proposed project. We'll also look a little bit at queues specifically on site, just confirming that the spacing between the site driveway and 197 and Route 9 is sufficient for what's anticipated as far as operations of the traffic signal. Sorry, I know that was quick. Are there any questions? It was just such a quick overview of where we are, which is not very far.
What juncture do you anticipate going to the state with this data? For the permit.
So essentially, as soon as we finish up the traffic impact study, we would submit typically to DOT at the same time that we submit to the town, unless it's preferable from the town's perspective for you to do that coordination. But we find that the sooner we can get into DOT, the better.
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting, yeah, that would be fine.
So with this one, it's a three-stage permit. So because the DOT has a couple different highway access permits, one of them is the Perm 33, which is pretty basic. That's kind of what you'd see for your the previous project that was up, right? It's just a driveway permit, no big deal. When we're doing a commercial development like this one, we have to do the Perm 33 COM, which is a three-stage. So at first you submit to them your traffic study and your conceptual plan. And then at that point, they get their opportunity to kind of comment on the traffic study itself. And then depending upon any type of comments, and it's certainly making sure you have municipal approval, the next step is the actual design of what has to be done for the access itself. So
for your private road.
Because of this one coming in at the signal itself, there is going to have to be work done at the signal. Right now it's flashing red on the opposite side. Most likely that can kind of just be turned back on to three-color operation, but that's one of the things we have to confirm with the state, and one of the things that they have to agree to and say, yeah, that totally makes sense, let's do that. BHB, you're the best. We totally love your approach right here. But yeah, we'll talk to DOT at the same time we submit to the town.
And when do you think your traffic study will be done? So when would you take that first step to say, sorry, did you
say that? I would anticipate our report will probably be done within about the next 2 weeks for applicant review, and then we get to submit to you folks and have it. I mean, you have monthly meetings, so
What I think would be efficient and most informative is when you do that, you can share that on a concurrent basis with myself and whatever you send to the state.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not looking to try and, you know, be the lead here. I just want to be in the loop. So as the information is exchanged and we get feedback, I'd like to keep that triumvirate of, you know, the town, the state, and yourself, you know, so we get the information.
As long as you're comfortable with us doing the coordination.
No, I'm more than comfortable. At least from the staff point of view here, that the function that I play, I'm more than comfortable with that. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're in the loop and I understand what's going on and when and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so at the state, within the permitting department, they've had some recent turnover.
Yes.
So at the beginning of the summer, Tina Crowley left and went to a different division. They now have a new... So Guy Tedesco has been there for years, right? He's great. We've worked with him for a long time. Ken Davis is now also in the permits department. He's new, so he's only been at it a month or so, but Guy's a good trainer, so between the two of them, you'll have some good folks to work with there. And they're really great about, we just keep everybody copied on what we're doing. Like, if we send it directly to Guy, I'm going to copy you, Jim, and whoever else at the town.
So what I'm interested in, like, one of the early things I'm interested in know is the current, you know, operations of that intersection and that signal. It seems to me like it's one of those things that, you know, most times it's okay, but when it's stressed, it is stressed.
Yeah.
and it's not functioning very well, you know, during that peak hour. I, if you were there from 4 to 6, you saw it.
I worked on...
I mean, it's so bad that this work that they're doing on the interchange, they're lengthening the off-ramp because they're getting traffic backing up on the interstate, and they really don't like.
Oh, no. Don't back up
and
hit
them
on
97. They don't like that. Because then FHWA becomes involved, and they're not nice people.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
They're super easy to work with.
Hell yeah.
What
not my experience. But.
So
but
if I could ask a question.
Sure.
Sorry, but you gave a great presentation. It was fast, but it was understandable. However, some things... defining. If I understood it correctly on the one slide, you're proposing a traffic impact of 39 cars in and 39 out on peak. That would be the 4 to 6 o'clock p.m. peak hour times or 4 to 5 p.m. peak
hour.
Yeah,
whichever one, yeah.
Okay. Is this particular, because this is just the automatic car wash, and I realize there's a certain speed. Is that, like, limited by the speed the car wash can go, that there's really only going to be 39 cars? Or is that like average and it might be a little more, might be a little less?
So my data is based upon ITE information. So mine is a compilation of like nationwide and general information. When it comes to more site-specific and operation-specific, I know that the folks from Hoffman's are able to give you more information on that as far as operating and processing through the wash itself.
Aren't they talking about ship trips generated, like somebody leaves their house and goes to the car wash?
Yes.
It doesn't count.
So it's not. So that's unique trips. That's not somebody's on their way by and they pull in.
Right.
Oh no, we didn't include any passbys.
So this leads to my concern with the intersection, and I'm not DOT and I'm not you. You guys are the experts. I'm just telling you what my concern is. Is a good number of those people at that peak hour are going to be turning left.
Yeah.
If they're, which would be essentially a passby trip, right? If it's somebody who's coming north and they decide, I'm stopping it.
Exactly.
I'm on my way home from work.
Yeah, I'm on my way home from work.
And I've got my monthly pass.
Exactly.
But at every one of our car washes, we're busy in the middle of the day, not during rush hour.
Okay, well,
during rush hour, people are rushing to work. And rushing home.
So I guess that was my question. I didn't know if this was something that was generated by the traffic study software or if it was something that was personal. So you guys have these all over the place, so you bring expertise.
Yeah, we're slow in the beginning of the day and we're slow at the end of the day.
Okay.
Especially when it's dark out. When it's dark out, it drops off to the signal.
It's not a sticking point.
Yeah.
I mean, if left turn becomes a problem, then DOT just needs to fix that. They just need to put a left turn lane in or a left turn signal or something that fixes that problem. So I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just, that would be the only thing that I could see could be an issue there is lining up cars turning left to go into your place. And you're saying that really people don't, I don't go to a car wash, so I wouldn't know, but you're saying people don't really go. I'm sorry.
You need to recuse yourself.
I don't commute and I don't get out much, so.
But wait a minute. You got to make up for those of us who do it all the time.
Exactly. He's the guy with the pants.
Yeah, and I'm more like Jerry than I am like John. And now, is this going to be the one in Latham? Is it Latham that just opened up?
Near the runway.
Yeah, near the airport, kind of like near the airport.
It's identical to that.
Oh, yeah, I just went by that. It's a beautiful facility. Mm-hmm. I just went by it Saturday. It's gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah. Dan, I have a question, and that is whether the traffic analysis is going to consider whether the road capacity on site can handle the demand, and that is so there's not going to be a backup on Route 9?
Yes. We will be looking at the operations of the intersection to confirm what the potential is impact.
That's
is
exactly what we're looking at. That's the whole
That's
point.
Exactly what we're looking at. And one of the things, because I mean, all three approaches existing to the intersection are DOT. They are not going to want to see degradations, generally speaking.
78 is not a little lumber.
It's not tiny, but you figure it's one every 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's not a whole
lot.
Apparently. But, so we are definitely going to be working with DOT and with you folks to make sure that the impact is manageable, or potential impact is manageable.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe I have my question might be the same as the one that you just got asked or not. I was more curious about the queuing area.
Yeah,
Look, I go to your car washes, and there's always, I'm one of the three people who go in there at the time when everybody else goes. Mm-hmm. So I see, you guys have a lot of business, so that's okay. Do you figure in the car capacity into the size of that queuing area that you're proposing?
Can you go back?
Yeah.
Our Saratoga site is only 1 acre near Bolson Spot Saratoga line.
Yeah.
And, this is 1.6 acres. We also moved. The entrance is down the roadways and it wraps around the building and there's all that queuing. This is one of our bigger sites that will have likely very little
traffic. But I would just think that would be to me something like I would like to have some idea of the ability of that queuing area to handle the capacity of the cars.
That was in my staff notes about the idea of the entrance driveway off the new road being further north, so you would provide more queuing on the site road coming in, and the queuing in the
further west.
Your site, I'm sorry, further
west.
North.
Yeah, northwest, the northwest.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
And we pushed that really as far away from the intersection here as works with the flow on the site. And so, as Tom was kind of alluding to, you come in, you've got a little bit of stacking here, but then they wrap all the way around. And this is where the automated tellers are on the back.
I would imagine that's going to be a question out of DOT is they're not going to want to see queuing extended into Route 9, of course.
No, definitely not.
You know, the other thing that happens is there's a high level of visibility from the street. So when people see a line, they don't stop. They'll come back another time. So
he does.
Jim, this will allow us with the three lanes coming in, and Alana will have that in her report, or queuing, stacking, and how many cars. And just eyeballing it right here, I can say it's going to be between 25 cars on the lot waiting to get in. I mean, that's what we're going to be able to have there, which is, on average, and even probably more than some of our places.
Yeah, it's one of our bigger sites.
But when you put it in scales, so you said 70 trips per hour?
So you've got 40 coming in and 40.
So just you said how many cars? 28?
I would say we're going to have like 25.
So three quarters of those cars can be on site.
Yes.
Okay. So once you
show that's them, that's unique. That's what we're going to have. That's people
correct.
Going from home to the car, not people pulling it off the highway on the way home like Jerry does. Correct.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as what you're talking about, right, the pass-by trip, right? You're like, oh, I can clean it up. So we're not taking any type of credit for that. So we're looking at that we're not counting on any pass-by trips. So we're just saying that these are new trips. We would, subtract out for the.
I didn't even know you're one in Clifton Park, which has got to be one of your busier ones on Route 9. And I don't think I've ever seen 25 cars in a queue there.
No. Right. Well, that's if somebody's pulling in, there's probably somebody else leaving. So that's why the queue keeps moving. And we're very productive. And
of course, that one's got multiple access points, too. That one's got.
I think the longest line I've ever seen is the one in Saratoga by Lowe's where it wraps around the building, but
right.
it's one line.
Yeah.
But I have no sense of how many cars
right.
are in the queue.
And since you brought that up, that lane over Wilton doesn't have our tellers, all right? The three lanes, it has just a one lane. So that's why it's slower over there, because we don't have the room to expand.
You've got 3 feed lanes coming in up the side there?
Yeah.
So that's like the one at Quaker Road.
Yes. We have your membership pass. If you have a membership pass, the gate just automatically goes up and you just keep moving.
That is a membership pass. But what? You're driving this way all the time.
I gotta give you guys credit.
You really gotta get out.
The architecture on the building is, that one in Lathan is, it's an asset. It really is.
Thank you.
It's an asset as a landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
And since we've mentioned it a couple times, I'll jump to it. This is the anticipated.
It looks just like there.
Yep. And so this would be, looking to the, north. Yeah, this is
back
towards Route 9. So Route 9 will be back out here. Your entry is coming in this way.
I got to say, Jim, when I saw the plans the first time, I thought about when we were looking to rewrite our code
right.
20 years ago, and a couple of the people on the board were saying, we need architectural review, and it's like, so what does it mean? And they said, well, you pick a theme, and you can have a theme, and you say you want all the new buildings to look like this, so you can kind of have everything look right and look like it belongs and everything. We couldn't come up with a theme. I saw this and I said, there's your theme. I like that. I mean, this looks nice.
You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Type thing. And it looks exactly like that.
Yeah.
One light is new.
And a couple other comments, just random things. I know it's early, but I see there's 6 employee parking spots. Is that the maximum number you have for an operation like this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know the automated gates help.
Right.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that's 6 for a shift, and so they'll have rotating shifts, and then how many hours a day does operate?
We're open from approximately 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the summer, and then 7 p.m. in the winter. Open at 7:30 on Saturday morning, a little bit earlier. So the self-serve vacuums are closed at night, so there's nobody hanging around.
Jim, I have a question for you. we dealt with the original car wash building being too close to the lot line in order to move forward. Is there an issue, and this has nothing to do with you guys, that's why I'm asking Jim this, I'm sorry to take some of your time, but is there an issue with the part of the former Suzuki dealership that's so close to that road?
Is this private?
That we're allowing a road to be built that close to that building?
So what we had talked about there during the subdivision process, if you remember, was that the portion of this building that was on this piece had to come down.
Yes, because, but that was because of the lot.
Yeah. And if and when this section of road were to be dedicated to town road, then this piece of this building would no longer meet that setback.
So for now, this is a private,
and the private driveway.
It's a private drive for your project that you're leasing that access to put your private drive on. Is that close, Travis?
That's my understanding of the way it is for now. Eventually, as soon as something else develops here, that'll have to come down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it as a problem other than it's really close to that road. So
you are right, guys. That worry road, that building would have to come down immediately because it would violate the setback.
Is that also something that if for some reason and it is available for sale, the Suzuki dealership was sold, in order for them to get to meet the requirements for site plan, that would also have to trigger that coming down or no?
Not as long as this is a driveway.
Okay. All right. Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
I'll just jump through a few more slides here and take any other questions. Just we're going to show the grading plan here, all stormwater management. You've got a plan in front of you that is managed on site. Of course, it's good row sand. Don't anticipate any issue with that. 100-year storm right on site.
You submitted your stormwater. You have paid the escrow.
I don't know the answer to that. Did we get an escrow number? It's always $2,500. So,
I'm gonna say we did.
Because
I have it, and I can submit it to our engineer. But the first thing they're gonna say is they need the escrow.
It's $2,500. We'll get the escrow again.
I just want to get that started, and I don't want to hold you guys up. And the expectation you thought the review had started it, and it has, and I can't.
We'll get on that.
I'm pretty sure we didn't. I'm pretty sure you didn't either, but. My mind is not what it used to be, so.
And so, I mentioned the utility connections to water. There's a sand filter system to try and recapture or reuse some of that water, and of course, the oil are separated, everything that's necessary to connect.
Well, what's your percentage of capture and reuse?
Well, we capture 100% of the water.
And you reuse?
And it goes to the municipal sewer system, and we use hundreds of gallons to blast the sand and salt off the bottom of every car and the side of every car.
So that all gets, but that's all it's all discharged to the sewer system.
Yeah.
With some filter, I would imagine you catch the sediments and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And then we included a planting plan in the package, pretty generous planting plan.
Fabulous. Love it.
Consistent with some of the other installations of the Hoffman's that you've seen, and rendering, which we already got to. So as far as the approval process goes, of course, we're here with site plan review with the planning board. We're last in front of the board on sketch plan in June. It's an unlisted seeker action short form. Here for preliminary review, as I understand the code, public hearing is at the option of the board. And then final site plan review. So we've obviously got to get through stormwater review, and Alana mentioned the stage one review with DOT, which we'd like to get that submitted after this, probably as soon as she's done with her traffic study. We'll get that submitted to DOT to keep that moving.
How long does that take them? Roughly?
Do you have any? Is there any?
Look,
is it just you just wait?
You should never play poker.
Yeah. No, I have nothing. There's no.
10 minutes ago, you were arguing that they were delightful, and then how long would it take? And you're like,
they're great. They're just slow. I mean, they're not things.
Okay.
6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. And you said it's a 3-stage review.
Yeah, the first stage is usually that 6 to 8 weeks, and it works better if you give them a call and check in, or the town is asking about it. But you got to give them a couple weeks first.
So once you get through the first stage, then you would anticipate then coming back in front of the board at that point? Or do you wait until you're through?
We wouldn't wait for DOT. We would let you know that the traffic study is in place, and we would talk about it here.
Yes.
And then probably prior to the next meeting, you would have comments from DOT.
So we should, but most of those comments from DOT would reflect them expressing their opinion of the traffic impact and then remediation plans. It's not normally,
It doesn't ever come up with yeah, no.
I've heard of a few instances where
it's
it was
rare.
No, but it's very rare. Extreme situation.
Yeah.
So in general, they would come back with, yeah, it looks like it's going to require changing the light or putting in an extra turn lane or something like that. So
I could see a lengthening of the left turn into the site.
Yeah, well, there is no left-hand turn lane there. There's no
left
turn at the moment, but yeah, I can see them possibly recommending that. But there's room there. I mean, there's still room in that road for that.
So you're thinking a couple
and
of months.
Jim, if you see over at Colony, where we put in, you know, the only change they made through there is have a right and left coming out of that road with a town. So that was, and we accommodated that. So
do you anticipate it being a couple of months from now by the time you're back in front of us? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I would think so. I mean, so we're here tonight with preliminary. We've got to get through stormwater with LaVerge. Marlena's got to get her traffic study done and submitted to DOT. I'd suggest that if LaVerge has comments back for next month, you know, we'll be back with the traffic study next month with LaVerge's comments addressed and continue to move forward.
I was going
to
say, locally, what you can do is get your stormwater going with us.
Yep.
The DOT thing is obviously out of our hands, but I just like to be in the loop. But the stormwater thing, we can get going.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, what we want to get a feel for tonight, and I think we have a good sense that you're generally happy with this layout. We obviously have to take care of stormwater and DOT, but I'm not hearing a lot of objection to what we've got laid out here.
No. The only objection I had to what they laid out was your timeline thing said that it would be up to the discretion of the board or whatever for a public hearing.
You're not going to walk around.
There's going to be a public hearing.
I had to try. I always try.
I was sitting there to wrap my head around it. It's not technically a change of use.
And I think it's a practical matter.
Road and stuff, so it's a pretty extensive.
And I think as a practical matter, I think the public hearing is a foregone conclusion, but the timing of that, I think it should be such that we have some substantive comment back from DOT. So the public has something to, because that's going to be the principle.
Well, I don't see a huge controversy. In fact, they may just complain that it's taking so long. But the point being, it'd be nice if you had everything there so that we could do the public hearing and just, yeah.
Okay, board.
What's
the traffic is completed? Do you want to submit to our consultant for review?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Martin, did you set that up for me?
Yep.
Okay. Now, these people keep changing jobs all the time. Do we still have the same one, Peter Pay?
Pardon?
Do we still have Peter? Or are we using somebody else on because he moved to somewhere?
No, we still have Peter.
Still, okay. Right.
We just don't have a clerk yet, so. You're looking at him.
Who could have foreseen that?
Maybe I missed what we just go. I know we're going to submit to LaVerge for stormwater. Did you ask Chairman Jensen about submitting the traffic to Peter also? And is that necessary with DOT's review?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a short version.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I will then I'll also write a letter to Peter getting an estimate. And the reason why I say that is so you have to pay the fee just one time. You can combine it, the stormwater review fee and the escrow for
right.
the
We'll get the stormwater review fee and we know what that is. We'll get that in so that we can get LaVerge cranking up.
Okay.
And we'll get an estimate from Peter.
Yep.
All right.
In our traffic engineer review shouldn't take the 6 to 8 weeks at the
No, Peter's very, he takes, he's on average about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, may I just have one really quick question, and that is, how are the number of parking spaces determined for this property?
How are the number of parking places determined?
It was for our employees. So we only have, the rest of the parking that you see are, is a vacuum.
This is self-serve.
Self-serve vacuum.
Vacuum is in here. And
so everything on the south.
And there's an employee parking up here. Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, in general, there's no reason for your customers to park there. Other than park their car to vacuum it out.
Just vacuum it. Right. You know, and if there is a an incident or something, they want to come in, there's always a vacuum spot that's open. That's what most people do.
Well, wouldn't it be considered, I guess, a retail use? And it's like one parking space for 100 square feet? Again, I don't know what category applies. Jim, do you know?
There's no products for sale. They're selling a service.
So what standard applies?
I quite frankly would recommend that you work out a standard with the applicant based on the use in this case, because there, like I said, it's not a retail use in a pure sense. So the service that's being supplied here is the vacuum service, correct? And that's the only service beyond the car wash, which is a continuously automated function. So I think you need to arrive at a comfortable number for the number of spaces required to provide the service.
And the service is in car, so you're not getting out of the car. So technically,
no, you are for the vacuum.
Well, not right, but that's a car wash part.
No,
so the service that you're getting doesn't require parking.
Correct, that's my point.
Technically, if you're in queue, you're standing, you're not parked. So.
But I have been to these where the vacuum function is a pretty busy area sometimes.
Sure.
At least a couple times that I've been through it, you see there's quite a few cars that take advantage of that on a couple of occasions I've been there.
But
they would also be customer parking. That's who parks it, so they're customer. But then that's my point. Yeah, as long as we have dimensionally an area there that operates well for that vacuuming function. You know, cars coming in, backing out, and that kind of a thing. That's what happens there. As long as that functions properly and safely, that would be the any concern.
Yeah, I would. Based on the plan I see in front of me, I don't. You know, I think you've got to figure out how many parking spots you need for your employees, and if six is what it takes to run this.
This is actually more than usual than what we do.
I mean, how many vacuum stations do you anticipate?
There's 11. 17 or 18?
Yeah.
17 or 18.
Yeah. And how do you know how many? Like, I never take advantage of the vacuum service when I go. Just so you have a working understanding of how many percentage of cars go through, go for the vacuuming, or just go for the wash?
Well, again, it's like when they fill up, people don't stop and wait in line or wait anywhere. Vacuum, and just do it at different time.
Right.
So accommodating more, you know, spaces for vacuuming just helps people, you know, vacuum their car more easily. Instead of backing up traffic, like on Route 50 in Saratoga, as an example, you know, there's far fewer vacuum spaces than here.
How many do you have at the new Latham?
Maybe about 14, wasn't it? Oh, because it's double sided.
22.
Yeah, it's similar to this, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's double sided like this.
We have 5 of these underway right now. So does that answer your question, Ann, about the parking for service related use?
Yeah.
Okay.
Board, anything further?
Nothing.
If not, turn about a spare play. You have any further questions of us?
Thank you.
No, appreciate your time.
Playing smart, you know, cut and run before we come up with it.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah, come on. Next week.
Yeah.
So Travis, you anticipate then the escrow fee in two parts, one for the stormwater, one for the...
Yeah, we'll get the stormwater taken care of.
I get that started. And then the second one, as soon as I get a traffic estimate, I'll let you know.
Yep.
Got it.
Thank you.
So just comment before you go and went down and checked out your place down on your rule.
Okay, good. It's nice. It's a nice spot. They're a good client. I worked with them at a previous employer. Got lucky enough to work with them again. I like Tom. They're good to work with. So we made some changes to the plan. So backing up, you're here. No offense. We're here in not August, end of July. We made a sketch presentation for the all-town fresh retail market. As you know, at the northwest intersection of Lamplighter Boulevard, number 9, right up the street from where the Hoffman car wash. So to answer one of the questions you guys had at that sketch review, no, we will not be building a car wash. But we said no then too, but more emphatically, no. No.
Hard enough.
No, that was never their plan. So, so just a quick overview of the project where it stands today. We left the meeting. We kicked off our in earnest design on the project. We actually had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Rogi, the gentleman who operates Lamplighter Estates. Rogi, pardon. We spoke to him then. We talked about his concern in the parking lot, and considered the comments that the board had. What we did to accommodate that was we reduced some of the widths here, a little bit of the width here, and pulled as much of the lot as far forward as we can. If you recall, we had employee parking along the back, and we had our dumpster enclosure on this side. Mr. Rogi asked that we move the dumpster enclosure as far from there as possible. We relocated here, so it's now, I think, 28 feet further from the rear property line as it was configured before. And I believe, and with the reduction of the employee parking lot, we managed to pull the whole limit of disturbance in about 28 feet versus what we had before. And again, we did reduce the number of truck stalls. We had 7. We reduced it to 5 and pulled them further forward as well. We relocated that employee parking lot to this small bank here. We've redone the traffic turning movements. It all still functions as previous. One of the things that we talked about when we talked to Dave was, and when we talked to the board, was infill planting along this fence. We have modified that on the plan that we submitted, the full application. We did not provide infill planting. The reason was we consulted with our landscape architect, and he said with this tall fence that you're putting here, as close to the over canopy from these mature trees as it is with that southern exposure, those trees are not going to survive. So what I did, I put a 5-foot berm under this fence. That gets the top of the fence to about 8, on average, about 8 feet high off of the finished grade. The key point being, as the vehicles are swinging to the left, that's when their headlights are pointing toward that. Once they've made this turn, headlights are facing this way. We don't have as much a concern with light cast and light pollution as previous. This spot is a little bit lower. We also are proposing to extend that 6-foot high vinyl fence about 50 feet along Lamplighter, and Dave asked us to do that as well.
So at that point, the top of the fence would be 6 feet above the pavement?
So there would be a transition section where it goes from the picket fence that my client owns now, which Dave did install on our property, but we're going to maintain that fence. There will be a transition section where it mounts to 6 feet, and then it will be 6 feet along this whole side. This fence will be at the natural grade today. Obviously, we can't really put a berm in there.
But there's a berm the top of the fence along the back will be 8 feet above the pavement?
Yes, the top of the fence will be...
2 foot berm with a 6 foot fence?
Oh, pardon me, I misspoke. At the midpoint here, so we do have a drainage concern, we have to shed both ways, so this is a high point.
Yes.
So it's about 8 feet from here. That berm's 5 feet tall here, so it's about 11 feet on that
berm. Okay, right.
So we maintain a set elevation for the top of the berm, but because we have a high ridge line that goes through this fueling pad, it drapes off both sides.
And so as the trucks are actually coming, like the one that you show,
right, along they're
the
pointing down.
Letter, they've got an 11-foot high fence.
That's right.
That
yep.
Okay.
I've circulated the plans to him as well. He was away for the past few days, so we haven't had a chance to go over the plan in detail, but we do plan on talking to him about it. Aside from that, you pressed on us to get our traffic study done. We did include it in the application. The impact assessment was completed. Our traffic study indicated there would be the highest increase would be a p.m. peak of, I believe it's at 183, the 4:15 to 5:15 hour, and that represents about 100 trips over the existing condition. It's what you were touching on before. You don't get credit for pass-by when you're talking about the change in peak trips, so it's the raw number.
So you're expecting 100 people to leave their homes and come to your place during peak hour?
No, not leave their homes. That includes pass-by. So backing up, this is not something that, it's not my project, so I'm not,
right.
I'm not jumping in when she was saying. So ITE is a regression model. Right, they look at all these projects across the country. They look at how many trips are unique to that, not unique to the project, in and out the driveway.
Right.
That's it. So they apply a reduction to that number to give your pass by. So in this case, it's a 60% reduction.
Okay.
So your unique trips are only 40% of that total.
Okay.
Right. So.
So with 100 trips that you're saying, is that the unique trips, or is that total trips?
That would be total trips.
That's what I thought.
Total trips. So we're not, because DOT doesn't allow you to take credit for pass by when you come up with the number for that, what determines whether you have to do the traffic impact study.
That's already the baseline.
Right.
So now you're looking for the impact.
Well, DOT is only concerned about how many cars are going in and out of the driveway. They don't care where they're coming.
Right.
They don't care if it's a new trip from their home or someone driving by the road. They're looking at the actual movement in and out of the driveway. So I tend not to get into the only time we ever really address, I've had to really address the difference between pass-by and unique trips is like with the CDTA, the CDTC, when they're doing like mitigation fees for new trips, right? The pass-by trips don't count, so you get that reduction and that benefits you. But other than that, nobody looked at the raw numbers. You know, whether they came from home or whether they were driving by on their way to work, it doesn't matter when people are trying to get in and out of your driveway.
Right.
You know,
that was the point being, like in the previous project, yes, the unique wasn't important when it came to whether people were going to be turning left.
That's right.
In fact, actually, it would have been, at that peak hour, that would have been the traffic situation, would have been the pass-by.
Right.
Not the unique.
Right.
Okay. In your case, I when you said 100, I was like, wow, okay, so that's a lot more than I would have expected.
Well, that's 100 new. You're right. I get what you're saying. I would not expect it. So if it's 100 trips that were unique, it would mean that during the peak hour, 50 different people got up and left their house to go here for service.
Right.
Highly unlikely.
So with that in mind, during the peak hour,
yep.
All right, if people are going to enter your business, they're going to be turning left.
Yes.
And if they're heading home and they were already heading north and they had to turn left to enter your business, when they leave, they're going to need to turn left.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going somewhere with this.
I'm with you. I have an idea where you're going.
At the last meeting, I mentioned that it might not be a good idea to have the entrance and exit directional.
I
we didn't, so we must have thought about it and decided that didn't work with our plan.
I'll be frank, okay? I'll give you a straight answer. It's not going to change. So the widths of our driveways is determined by the truck turning movement.
Okay.
Right? So it's going to be, if we go to one way, it would be a matter of signage dictating it only. we couldn't do some funky pork choppy thing because then the trucks can't get in and out. And then it just becomes a matter of signage anyway. So if we're going to do signage saying no truck entrance here, trucks use other entrance, which we didn't include on that plan, but it is on my application to DOT, and I'll show you that. So if we're limiting the truck traffic to here only, it's by signage. And if it's one way, it's by signage also. So we were going to, we're amenable to it. We wanted to see what DOT had to say about it.
Okay.
And that was really what it came down to.
As somebody who used to live on Route 9, and used to try and turn left onto Route 9 in the morning, I can tell you that a left turn on Route 9 looked like New Jersey. You took a right, went down the road,
turn around,
and you pulled into somebody's business, and you came back up, took another right.
Okay, yeah.
Two rights to make a left.
Yep, that's
so
how my mom
what looks. I see here is people are going to be coming home from work. Jerry assures me that this is a beautiful place, and people are going to want to stop there and pick up stuff. Okay. So people are going to come, they're going to turn left into your business. Then they're going to go out to turn right, and it's or turn left to keep continue on, and they're going to be like, oh, God. And they're going to stack up in your business. Okay.
Yep.
So, and I love the fact that you've gotten rid of the 200 feet of
open
curb cut, because
I've seen
5 to 6 cars at a time take the left when they can make it.
Right.
Okay, which is crazy. But now they're going to stack up on your.
Hey, Mr. Earl, I absolutely respect your position on this, and honestly, Tom doesn't really have an issue with that either. You know, my marching orders when I left was, don't change anything major right now. Let's see what DOT has to say.
If it's just signage, then you're at the whim of people following the signage, and it becomes an issue if it was supposed to be one way and somebody pulled in and hit somebody. I understand that. I'm trying to figure out how to make it so that your business works, because I think Hoffman's right too. If people pull in there and then it takes you 20 minutes to get out, then it's going to affect your business too. So
well, I mean, you know how this works, and I know how this works. This is where I stop on my way to work. I'm right in, right out, got myself.
I mean, and there are some things too that will happen. The proximity to the light at the end of 197 can provide some relief
yes.
on the northbound traffic. Then it's, if you get lucky enough, southbound traffic isn't.
It's great.
So, yeah, that, you know, it'll.
We are very amenable to that, but again, Tom's approach was, let's just get everything in hand. We know what your opinion is. We know what let's see what DOT has to say, and we'll weigh
in
when we get to
this. This is 10 times better than the existing condition.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, starting from that, I'll take anything
there. Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, it's not something we're going to fight tooth and nail over, to be honest with you. His approach was, look, if it's just signage and that's the only change, then let's provide the signage that we need to and make an agreement to do it when we have all the info, everyone's weighed in. So backing up to that, you did see our traffic assessment. I submitted the stage 1 and 2 combined into the expedited permit to DOT. Jim, I'll send that to you, that package to you. I hoped to get an informal sit-down with Guy Tedesco. He'd been amenable to that in the past, but that was before Tina Crowley came on and before Tina Crowley subsequently left. And now the new guy, whose name escapes me, he's being onboarded, and Guy is not willing to sit for an informal with me because he's given this zone to the new guy for permitting. Guy's not handling this specifically anymore. So I submitted the stage 1 and 2 this morning in expedited fashion, and I'll get that over to you guys, to you, Jim.
Did you get my the confirmation of the escrow?
Yes, and Tom was out for the last couple days last week. He sent that check out this morning.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, I just want to make sure you had your mechanics.
No, we got it.
Peter's going to look at this as well.
That's for stormwater.
Oh, stormwater.
Traffic is a whole other thing if you want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a second fee for third-party traffic review. I have to get an estimate from our provider, and I will send it to you when I get it.
Okay, no problem. And, as far as that goes, the initial response, I did send Guy my sketch plan. You know, he said, this looks great. You know, he said, I don't have trip gen, so I can't really say so much about it. But it looks great. I can't imagine we have a huge problem. He did bring up that the proximity to lamplighter is an issue. And as a new driveway, that's not something they'd be keen to permit. But it exists. So, they're going to take what they can get as better, if they can get better, is what it really boils down to. But again, that's informal until I see something in writing on.
And the existing driveway is even closer to Lamplighter.
Yes, it is. That's true. Talking a little bit, again, this brings up one of the issue we have in the site, stormwater. Currently, the site is serviced by a bunch of intermittently functioning dry wells. They require annual cleaning. There's a lot of, you know, impacted gravel, dust, sediment all over the site. It's just not a clean site, and the dry wells don't perform over time. We're removing them all, with the exception of three of them here on the corner of Lamplighter. The issue being, Lamplighter has no drainage. And frankly, the Route 9 has no drainage. We are not interested in treating all of the stormwater for Route 9 and sizing this thing for this city. And frankly, a private landowner does not have the obligation to do that. We've got small ridges here. Those ridges are set so that if there really is a flood, our site can take some of the flow, but it won't go in the building. But generally speaking, as I said, we're leaving those to the benefit of Lamplighter Boulevard, and they'll continue to maintain them. And if they do, our stormwater model does anticipate those surging. If they surge in high flow events, if they fill up, they'll spill down onto our site, drain to a catch basin here, and drain into our underground retention system. So for the 100-year rainfall event, we do expect that our drainage system will take off-site flow. For the lower events, we don't expect that it will. And I think that's a fair way to approach it, because that's the natural drainage pattern today. The drainage system is sized to infiltrate the entirety of the 100-year rainfall event. We have no outlet. So normally, you know, if you do a pond or, you know, something underground, you want to safely pass that through a controlled outlet structure with a series of, you know, orifices, so you let it drain out to the road, you have the closed drainage system. Obviously, there isn't one.
So you anticipate, if I understand correctly, you will be able to handle everything that falls on your property along with some additional...
Yes.
From...
Yes, our stormwater model includes the entire parking lot here and all of Lamplighter and a portion of Route 9.
For 100 years.
For the 100 years.
Are you doing any kind of physical break between you and Fitzgerald? Or
This is the... Pardon me. The curb here is high, and it does drain slightly back toward Fitzgerald's. We've talked about, you know, I talked to Tom and I talked to my team, you know, we do a bunch of QA, QC and design iteration. Our feeling is, because we're providing so much more grass than is there now, and the flow is basically going to hit the property line, that's going to infiltrate. It's reduced to about 15% of the existing... It ends up being a really small catchment. It's just this small bit over here. That grass is going to be more than adequate to handle that. We really don't want to design a stormwater system that we have to maintain to benefit our neighbor.
The underlying soils are very sandy, correct?
Very sandy. I'll be frank, we did the infiltration test early on, and I got 48 feet an hour. I could not dump water in that hole fast enough. It's a 5-gallon bucket. A 5-gallon bucket was gone as fast as I could pull it in the quarter.
Except when there's frost in the ground and the snow melts in the spring.
Yeah.
Swimming pool time.
Well, so the good thing here is...
My question is, would it be wise to have some type of storm...
Yard drains?
Yeah, that's something to get through that process.
In this area?
Yeah, not elsewhere. I mean, I haven't looked at your SWIP totally at this point, so you probably already dealt with it, but for that area, just a couple of spots to make sure on those days when you get that late winter rainstorm where they put a snow on the ground and the ground's still frozen.
I'll talk to Tom about it. It's one of those things. I can build something into the topography.
Okay.
I could depress this and give it a little bit of capacity, but, you know, I mean, it's not something we want to record in the stormwater design, because I don't see them desiring in perpetuity the maintenance of a stormwater system that benefits their neighbor.
Well, and I was just going to say, to be clear on this, I'm only suggesting that to handle the water that you just mentioned, that that green area runs towards Fitzgerald's.
Well, no, it does slightly short. I mean, it's less than a half a percent.
I'm only suggesting that to handle the capacity of your flow.
Sure.
To another property, not their flow to yours. It's not your responsibility to handle theirs.
No, but we also don't want to be bad neighbors, and we also don't want to cause a flood where there wasn't a flood. So, you know, all things considered.
Well, I don't think it would cause a flood where there wasn't. It would be where there was anyways. Okay.
Fair enough.
But it's just something you could take a look at.
It would be simple enough to grade this with a low point, as opposed, you know, normally your landscape areas want to build up a little bit. I can grade it down a little bit, as opposed to swale it slightly instead of a berm, and we can look at that. There, you know, there's another thing that DOT may ask that I'm ready for. I didn't submit a drainage shell, which is, you know, DOT, when you do the stage 1 and 2, there's a qualifier for what gets them into reviewing your stormwater design. It's an increase of 2,000 square feet of impervious cover in the right-of-way. This does not meet the requirement. We have a reduction of 1,600 square feet in the right-of-way. There's no call for a drainage shell. But...
technically, because of the fact that Route 9 sits a foot or two above your property, it's probably got to be reviewed from the other direction, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in general, Route 9 sheets
to the property.
The property.
Yes. And they don't provide any drainage. What I anticipate I might need to do is provide curb breaks into this island, but I'm going to wait to see what the folks at DOT have to say about that first. Because, again, we don't really want to have the obligation to maintain DOT drainage.
But the point
system.
Being that your stormwater is... highly unlikely to run out.
It will not run out.
Okay, right.
My model for the sizing on this is 30 inches an hour.
Right.
Okay, that's the infiltration rate we're modeling, 30 inches an hour.
Yeah.
My actual test indicated about 5 inches a minute.
Right. Yeah.
So we're way oversizing this thing. The other thing is it's large enough we're well below the bottom. This is well below the ground up. Well below freeze thaw.
Right.
So it's going to work all winter.
Okay.
You know, stormwater is one of the bigger pieces here. And Tom did ask me to make a change on that as well. You know, we're using a StormTech chamber system, you know, those orange arches, right?
Yeah.
And I'm very comfortable with SC740 as the 3-foot rise arch.
Okay.
Most of the sites in the Capital District in New York in general, you're really head limited. There's not a lot of space to work with. Because soils drain terribly everywhere, and there's a high water table everywhere. And frankly, all the good sites have been built on. So, you know, you end up with this really low clearance. I can go to larger chambers on this, and he asked me to do it. Since there's no outlet to be concerned about, we probably will. And a smaller footprint gets significantly more capacity at a bit less cost for him. So that's probably where we're going to end up going. But all in all,
all the good sites have been built on, except on Route 9.
On Route 9, Tamara.
I wanted that on the record.
I
was supposed to pick that up.
It's just one of those general challenges. You know, if you're working in the Capital District immediately in Albany, the good sites are generally built. But all the sites are challenging. That's what makes the job interesting, honestly. So I think I covered the big ones. We had some discussion about our bulk table being inaccurate. That's been modified. That's been addressed. I do feel that we're still adequately served in parking. We're in the 50s for stall count on this. It's in excess if we count with pump positions as parking stalls.
I do want to say I appreciate what you did in the back there, you know, with the added dimension in the rear for buffer. Removing the parking and the berming and all that, those are all positive steps, and taking a couple of the larger spaces out, those are all...
I think whatever we can do to keep lights from shining into their backyards,
yeah,
I think
that's a good thing for you.
It's the key there.
We had talked back when you first came in, no overnight parking and no idling.
We're absolutely standing by that, yes.
Yeah, I noticed that you have a plan for signs that are going to be on the thing. I didn't see any.
We have the standard sign, our standard sign table on there. That's all that's there right now.
Yeah, I just didn't see any.
I didn't have
that. No,
we'll get that in there.
So
we will definitely get that in there. Trying to get, that's not, I guess I should probably have that before a public hearing.
That's a note that will be on the plans too. Yeah.
I kind of like people to tell me what, the public to give me input. I don't know if you're getting that. You know, tell me what you want.
Well,
within reason, you know.
Right now.
All right, we'll include that discreet and specific signage. And again, that's not their business model. And I was over there earlier today, before I came here. There were 14 trucks parked there. 4 of them were running.
Yeah.
That's
our request.
That's not going to continue. That doesn't work for their business models. Well, there's no turnover. You know, if we had 30 parking stalls, they'd want them to stay there all the time. Mm-hmm. But they want to be able to get people in and out. They want to sell fuel and sell sandwiches. And if people are sitting in these parking stalls for 2 hours at a shot, they can't turn over customers.
You're not gonna get
so then the business model, the concept of the parking stalls is to keep the trucks from loading up at the fuel pumps. To get them fueled and then move on and go get your sandwich or whatever.
And then move on. Yep.
And, which is also a great point.
But it is not a truck stop. You know, it's not a, they're at, they are building one, right. But it is not here. If it works elsewhere.
Is there in the building dining?
It's
a couple
what
of
is typical days. For a convenience store with food prep inside some booths. Yep. And we can bring a floor.
There's no table service.
There is no weighted service.
Okay.
No, it would be at your leisure. Okay. More like a Dunkin' Donuts than.
Yeah.
So I guess as far as that goes, what we can accomplish today, I think we're further along. You want to have comments back on the stormwater design before setting a public hearing? Is that is that generally how you handle that?
Generally, I can leave to get that first generation of comments, back, so we know where things stand.
Okay. Well, I did speak with Bill. He told me Bill Coble there at LaVerge. He told me very explicitly what he would like to see on this, and I overshot on it. So, aside from crunching the numbers and the math, what we're showing for practices are what he asked for. So we're showing redundant pre-treatment the way the state requires for any hotspot infiltration. This is one of the issues with the fueling station. So we're providing, and it is on our drainage, our grading drainage plan, a snout product, which gives you some storage for hydrocarbons in the structure itself in the case of small spills and runoff. We are providing two downstream defenders, one for the front. It's essentially two drainage systems. There's one for the front and one for the back. Basically, a downstream defender hydrant separator here and one about here. So those are two pre-treatments. We are building out what Storm Tech calls their isolator row. So the first row of your infiltration practice. It takes your first flush, it's wrapped with fabric, right? So that you capture all those sediments, then the high flow events, it spills into the other chambers. So that's 3 pre-treatment practices that the state sanctions as opposed to the 2 that's required.
On the infrastructure side, I don't know if you had a chance to interface with our water superintendent yet. If you haven't, I'll give you his email contact information, and you need to get with him right away because, as a practical matter, he's retiring, and I think 29th of September is his last day.
Okay.
So I want to get you that right away tomorrow.
So we need to get a letter from him, basically.
Well, I just want you to dialogue with him because he has very specific standards for the types of metering and valving and things like that. He wants to have an employee.
Is that Mr. Fish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've spoken with him about record drawings and record mapping so far, so he's not totally in the dark that we're doing this, but
the Mueller valves, and I forget the meter, but I have it written down.
And this brings up the point you mentioned. I don't have a hydrant. I'll need a hydrant.
Yep.
We don't shut off yet. I need a hydrant.
So those are things you want to go over with him, because I know he has a specific...
For fire, I'm going to need a hydrant.
He has a specific type of hydrant that he likes to use and that kind of thing, so I got to get his information.
So right now, I'm waiting to hear what DOT has to say. Hopefully we get word back from them relatively soon. And I have some, I'm putting this project down. I'm putting it down for a bit, waiting to collect some comments, and then do some work and get another set of plans up.
We'll do that, and then we'll get comments from our traffic consultant and stormwater.
Okay. Is there any change in the signage as far as the highway sign for this? Other than just changing the name or something, but is it...
Right now, so I handed off all your sign regs, all the sign regs to their signage vendor. They actually have a sign, a regional contract for the sign vendor. Tom, and because the sign permit stands aside from the site plan approval,
yes.
My promise from them at this point is that it's a compliant sign package. They haven't had, we're going to occupy the same place.
That's what I was saying.
Yes. The same location with a compliant sign.
Okay.
But they haven't provided me with a sign package.
Yeah, I don't want to see the sign. I just want to see the location.
I'll come up here and go to the ZBA if they want to not do a compliant package, but that. I don't expect that. And
we're more curious about the location.
Yeah, no, same location.
So it's the same.
There's an established location. There's no reason to change it. You know, we don't want to have conflicts with the trees that we're providing. And
but it now it
will
have
a compliant sign because we can't approve one that's not.
Right, of course.
but it's now in that island. It's not in the big.
This actually is where it is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not in the big lot wide driveway entrance.
Oh right, no, we're just going to build the grass island around that location. Yes. Yep. So we're building the grass island around that location of sign, ripping that one out and putting a new one in.
You are making the sign and driveway situation even more compliant, which is great. We always have
the plan. We did do lighting. I didn't touch on this. So they work with a national vendor for the lighting product. It's a company called Redliner. They give you the locations. They did. I'm bringing this up because it's something we talked about. We are showing two towards the rear.
Yeah.
They are further from the rear of the parcel than the previous iteration was because we pulled the whole project back. And of course, they're using all of the standards for cutoffs and the like.
Yeah, they can direct that thing well away from them.
I don't expect that to be an issue, and frankly, the canopy lights.
You will be providing an illumination plan.
Yes, I there was one in that package, okay. I believe.
All right.
There should have been one in there. It didn't have ISO lines, it had just a foot candle gridding.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, that was on the last page in the package.
That's fine.
What are the proposed business hours?
24 hours a day.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's fine. So I was just curious.
Well, this is Anne. I have a question. I'm sorry I missed the meeting where you first appeared.
No problem.
The documents I talked earlier indicated that you were not going to be looking at the public sewer.
No.
Is that correct?
Well, it's kind of, the notes are a bit odd because we're showing a proposed connection to a sewer that doesn't exist yet. Our intention is to connect to the new sewer once it is constructed. But, and frankly, the project isn't going to start construction until that sewer is done. So
I'm told they're ahead of schedule.
That's, and I did send a message over to Don Rhodes, like you suggest that I do. He said, I can't give you an exact date. We have an obligation to have the project completed by June of 22. And we're well ahead of schedule right now. And that's all
yes.
he would.
Yeah.
That's all he gave me. So, but my client's asking the same thing. There's a huge back order in tanks right now. Like, there's everything is behind. So they want to get their order in for these tanks as soon as possible, but they're not going to put the money up front for them until they know when they can start construction. So they're looking at that as their construction start date, is when they can rip the ground up for the sewer.
So the answer is you're connected.
Yes, we would definitely. I've sized an E1 grinder system. We've worked with Will Stradling and Seaward. It's what LaBerge told us was going to be expected was an E1 system. So it's sized for our daily flow, and we show it on the utility plan right in the back with a grease trap.
Okay.
I think we're good. Any other questions or comments?
Not for me.
Can I go forward so if you have any luck?
What's that?
Turn about Forest Fair Play. Yeah. Any questions you have?
I don't actually. Jim has been accessible and I've gotten my questions answered. So right now I'm, you know, again, as I said, I'm kind of in a holding pattern. I want to collect the comments that I get from everyone.
So you would, at the next meeting you appear at, though, expect a public hearing to be set at that next meeting, correct?
That's what you've indicated is the path forward.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Look forward to it.
Jim, did our traffic consultant change firms?
To my knowledge, no. He's, well, that might, you're with GPI, aren't you?
Yeah.
Peter Faith?
He's, yeah, I mean, he's semi-retired.
Because he's the guy we usually use.
Well, so Mike Wiskowski did our trip gen, and Mike has taken over as the head of our traffic department. He was a DOT guy for his career, and he's finishing out on consulting.
You might have to do the reverse, Peter, have a Creighton or
what triggered
VHB. We just had here, VG.
Alana, VHB, and
VHB.
That's where Wendy went, right?
Yeah, we might have to go to them for an estimate on this one.
And what triggered it here, applicant is Brandon Peterson.
Right.
Yeah, that's
what I mean. He is.
I didn't
he's
know
semi-retired, but he's still. I think there's a risk of a conflict there.
Absolutely, there is. So if you
we'll have to go to another provider.
Peter comes in periodically and he helps us with marketing. I think that's the major scope.
He's still kind enough to do we ask him as a third party reviewer.
No, I mean he's around. Yeah. He's not running the department right now.
I mean, to the extent that the work he does is fine for us.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's a great spot for him to be in. It's good work for him, so.
Just didn't want to get ourselves caught.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But no, that's fine. And, you know, this is, again, a turnaround's fair, right? We do review for our competitors, and they do it for us. And
historically, it's been a small pond that you draw from anyhow. So it always goes back and forth.
Yep. No, and I've contracted. Actually, GPI is the first firm I've worked for that we do traffic inside. And all the other places I've worked, we had to go outside for it. So working with all of those.
Okay.
All the players.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let you guys get home.
Yeah, I did. I ran out and I got Peter Beckham's
car. He's our new code enforcement officer. So,
awesome.
Have at it.
Yeah. Excellent.
You don't have to ask me anymore.
He's going to wish you hadn't given this to me.
All right.
I wish they could make the font a little smaller.
So, I was just looking at the book, but it would have been better if you made the car so it could be read by somebody. One thing I want to mention to you, Jim, is I spoke with somebody from the U.S. Postal Service, and part of that email I sent to you is we have a project in front of us that is heading towards its final approvals, and it dawned on me we have no mail thing on it at all. Okay? And my understanding from the Fort Edward Postal Service is they are not going to be doing any home delivery.
Right. So I think anything that has that kind of interface with postal delivery, we've got to look at the idea of kiosks and
right.
And
but the question I guess I have is, I mean, we would be looking at the siting of those kiosks, but do we need to now send applicants to the Postal Service to talk to them each time, along with referring them to water and, you know, all the other people we refer?
You mean for location or for addresses?
Not for addresses, for location, for a kiosk kind of thing. Because the one that comes to mind is...
Yeah, and the short answer is yes.
Because the one that comes to mind is Jacoby Farms, and that's not just like there's an entrance to this development. There's five or six. So then
the other one we got next Monday is Harrison Avenue Apartments. It's another one that will need a
Well, we all the apartments have had them, and Arrowhead SJM had a kiosk also.
Correct.
Okay. But it dawned on me that Jacoby Farms didn't. So that's why I sent you the email to say, geez,
yep.
maybe they,
yep.
before they come in front of us, I don't want it to hold up for approval.
Yeah, and where it gets a little tricky is, you know, wintertime access and plowing, because the one that they, there was some complaints on, used to be the building inspector here, now he's a builder. What's his name?
Greenwood.
Huh?
Greenwood?
Greenwood, yeah. The subdivision he did, people were having to wade through, like, 8-foot plow drifts to get to their mail by virtue of where the kiosk was located.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah. So, anyways, I wanted to mention that.
So, but in the design, if we can get, you know, a design that works in this climate, it's accessible and all that.
Well, and I asked him, I said, so what do you do with, like, packages? Because, I mean, face it, the Postal Service is delivering a lot of boxes and letter cases on the right.
Yeah.
And he said that they either have at the kiosk a drop box, all right, or they'll deliver them right to your door.
Oh, okay.
But all they right. won't deliver the mail.
The regular mail, they yeah, okay.
So,
all right. Well, we can start to anticipate
thank
that.
You
all.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Motion to adjourn.
Second. Yeah, I still don't think you need one. You're the chairman. You can just knock the gavel and say, we're done.
Motion to adjourn. The motion and second from John.
Yes.
Motion made second for discussion. If not, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Abstention.
Good night, everybody online. Good hearing from you. That's it.
Thanks, Jim.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Miss you guys. You know, there is something you said for having socks on at the planning board meetings. It's just a different level of
professionalism.
When I was at home, I didn't have even socks on. I had clothes on just in case somebody turned the camera on if you didn't tell, because I didn't want to stand up and be there.
I saw your email. Your message coming. Good call on the three.
You did. I didn't want to take the process, but when I
saw
it, I was.
Yeah, well, it was a borderline case, and I called Peter, and we decided to err on the side of.
You're sitting here at 9 o'clock right now. If you had three more people, kind of.